Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by Pete. I'm not joined by Aaron. I am joined by Matt Moore of the Action Network. Matt, it's just like a nice, quiet kickoff to the summer, right? Nothing really going on. Just kind of hanging out. All that good stuff.
It's been chill for me. I don't know, man. Like, I guess here's the thing is, this one, at least we know a little bit more in front of us. Like, we've been through the LeBron craze before, so we know a little bit more to expect. And he's leaking out an appropriate amount this time. Like, he's letting people know, like, probably going to get it done before July 4th. You're going to be able to figure out what's going on a little bit sooner. Like, that's good for teams. It's good for media. It's good for everybody. Really, the biggest question is this Kawhi Leonard deal. And I do think the dynamics with this Lakers team are fascinating in terms of leverage. And I've been on this track for a while trying to communicate this to people about before Ramona and Woj wrote their thing the other day, not the one tonight, the one 2 days ago, I forget. Mm-hmm. about how, like, the pressure's on for them to actually – they got to get this Kawhi deal done, which is in and of itself an angle, which we're going to have to talk about the mechanics of how all this stuff works. But I was saying for weeks on radio, I've been asked this question about, like, well, what's, you know, is LeBron in LA a done deal? Is this, like, a finished thing? And I've been like, well, look, you know, I've said that I think the Lakers are getting at least one of the big three, if not two, if not three, and all three are in play. And at least one is almost, in my opinion, definite. Now, that said, the trick is that Kawhi, LeBron, and Paul George are all in a game of chicken. And they're all going, I'll go if you go.
Well, I'll go. So weird.
Well, if you go. Well, I'll go if you go. And Magic Johnson's like, please, for the love of God, just come here. And it's got to be frustrating, but it is a challenge, right? Because The question is, one of them has to basically make a leap of faith and say, I trust Magic Johnson and the Lakers to seal this deal and get this done. Like, there's not an implicit level of trust with Kawhi, LeBron, and Paul George the way there was with Wade, LeBron, and Bosch. That relationship does not exist. And so we're honestly in a prisoner's dilemma game theory situation where all three parties are blind. Not blind. They're talking, but they're probably mostly not revealing all their cards. And they're going like, hey, if that's what you decide, that would sure be compelling. Oh, well, that's what you decide. That would sure be compelling. And the reality is what's going to come down to, I think, is going to be it's going to have to be LeBron's going to have to just make the call. LeBron's going to have to be the one that says, like, you know what? I don't want to play for Dan Gilbert anymore. I'm ready to be in L.A. I'm not playing for the Clippers. Let's go with the Lakers. That's it. And I'll deal with the concept. Like, we'll figure it out later. We'll figure out who we're trading – how many of the kids we're trading next. and then we'll go from there. And then and then after that, I think probably, you know, if LeBron signs and says trade Lonzo, Kuzma – and two first and get me Kawhi Leonard, the Magic Johnson will be like, aye, aye, captain. And that's what will happen. And that's something that, like, I know that you're not going to probably resist on, but, like, this needs to be made very clear. LeBron is going to determine who's on this team next year. If yes. he comes, LeBron determines who's on this team next year. Nothing else matters. Magic Johnson can talk all he wants about being a Lakers legend and being an all-time great, yada, yada, yada. He has no power in this situation. He is just an executive. That's it. And executives hold nothing compared to LeBron James. So when LeBron James signs, if he signs the Lakers, then he's going to get to decide who gets what. Like, who's going where, who's on the – if nothing else, he'll decide who is on the team and who isn't. Like, if he can't make Paul George's decision for him and he can't make the Spurs do whatever, he will decide. Like, if he says, I'm not dealing with LeBar, that's it. Which I have no reason to believe he will, but if he were to say that, they would trade Lonzo. If he says, you know what, I like Brandon, but I think we can get a better veteran. I want to get some older guys in here. Brandon's our best bet. Brandon's gone. If he says, I like Kuzma, but I could use I need a veteran big man because I got to be able to run pick and roll. Guess what? Kuzma's gone. Like, LeBron decides all of this. So this is all to say is kind of a setup for all this that the most fascinating dynamic really honestly is – who is going to make that leap of faith first? And to me, the only person that's going to be is LeBron.
There's a lot to get to there. And by the way, you guys know where to find the show and where to find me on Twitter and everything like that. So we're just going to dive right in here. But the point that you made that I think needs to be made here is the difference between the involved parties here, whether it's LeBron, Paul George, and Kawhi, and the involved parties the last time he tried to do something like this and get three superstars to sign somewhere, to be somewhere in the same offseason. Like that difference in friendship or difference in circles that they run in, that was one of the things that really stuck with me last, or not last time, but a couple of times ago that you and I spoke, was LeBron and Paul George don't really run in the same circles. And that's why when Paul George's documentary came out and it said Dwayne Wade was involved or that he's going to talk to Dwayne Wade, well, that's when the red flags flew up for me. Was because, okay, all right, there's the middle party. There's the bridge of communication being Dwayne Wade between those two guys. And I started to piece all these things together. And then you kind of get to where we are today. And like, I'm not gonna criticize anybody's reporting here. I am in no position to do that whatsoever.
Yeah.
Not at all. But I honestly think that a lot of the reporting and the speculation and stuff like that comes from a place where nobody really knows what's going on. I don't think anybody has any idea how this winds up playing out. And you know, is that too far in that direction, do you think, that analysis, that nobody really knows what's going on? Or do you think it's just maybe they have conflicting reports and they're all working together on the same story, so that's where some of the confusion might come from?
Okay, let me try to make an analogy and break this down. Let's say you talk to the State Department. Okay, you actually deal with something that actually matters. You talk to what's left of the State Department. let's say you talk to the State Department. The State Department says, no, under no circumstances has there been any U.S. involvement in this country. That is not something we've done. Like, we are not involved. We have no ties. It's a nothing burger. Now, let's say that the Pentagon.
Boy, you scared me there, Matt. You talked about the State Department and then bang.
sorry, I'm talking baseball. Then you talk to the Pentagon. And the Pentagon says, well, regarding troop movements in X country, we can neither confirm nor deny those activities.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, they just said. So there's like a report. We cannot confirm or deny that those reports exist. They're classified. But in order for them to be classified, they have to exist. Okay, so what I'm getting at here is that two different sides have two different intentions of what it is that they want to get out. And the reality is somewhere in the middle. And what you're seeing here a lot is the question that fans don't have to ask themselves, because most people just like go to work and they read their stuff and they're like, hey, I heard that Kawhi's coming here, or Kawhi's going to do this. And that's fine. But if you're at this level and you listen to this podcast, you care enough. So like, here's the inside baseball. I'm not a big news reporter. I'm not a high level guy. I don't have important sources. RC Buford is not going to pick up the phone for me. Nor are most of the NBA GMs in the league. However, I've been doing this long enough. I did aggregation for 9 years. I do have relationships with various executives around the league. And so I've learned a little bit about how this stuff works, and it's fascinating to me. And here's my kind of opinion on it. If someone that's informed tells you something and you report on it, okay, that's an indication from one side that X is happening. What happens that gets confusing is when one side projects what they think is happening and you report that, even though it's coming from a source that directly has an opinion or a motive for what that narrative would be. Yep. One of the best examples of this is, like, there was reports last year, like, you know, the Celtics would be really interested in trading for Marc Gasol. And so what everyone went was like, the Grizzlies could trade Marc Gasol. And so I called the Grizzlies and was like, are you guys trading Marc Gasol? And they were like, no, under no circumstances are we trading Marc Gasol. Now, I wrote a story that said the Grizzlies have no intention of trading Marc Gasol. In that piece, I wrote about all the reasons why that could change and it could happen. And if so, yes, the Boston Celtics would probably be a team that they would wind up making a deal with, because you want to be able to be open to all these possibilities. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that the Celtics put that out because they're trying to apply pressure on a situation. And that's not uncommon for the Celtics or anybody else to do. Like, yeah, most teams do this. There's a handful that don't. There's a handful of teams that I respect that, like, they don't do that. They don't put pressure. The Thunder continuously trade for guys when you've never heard their names mentioned in trade talks.
Yeah.
Never. Sam Presti does not involve himself in the Thunder or interested in trading for X. Not what he does. That's not to say Sam Presti doesn't talk to the media. I have pretty good reason to believe he does. But he is not playing those types of games. But some GMs choose to participate in that. What you have right now is a San Antonio team that almost never does that, but has been dragged into the situation. And so they're putting out their side, which is the Lakers are under a lot of pressure, better get this done. And the Lakers are putting out their side, which is the Spurs have opened communications. And that may not even be the Lakers saying that. That may be Kawhi's people saying, like, yeah, those two have talked, you know, they've been, because if Kawhi's camp wants him out of there and wants him in LA, you leak the story, they've talked about trade. When ESPN previously reported they've never talked about trade, you leak that story because it puts more pressure on the deal to get done. It increases public pressure on San Antonio. It becomes more of a circus, which is something they want to avoid. It does. It seeks to accomplish what it is that they're trying to do. And all the little things that are contained in these stories are important too, about how if Leonard's camp were to make it apparent that he would not sign with any other team, that would take pressure off of LA. That helps out Kawhi if he's trying to get to the Lakers, because the Lakers don't want to give up everything to get him. So there's all these complicated dynamics. Now, a lot of this you have to assume is guesswork. Like, all you can really do is deductive logic, because these sources are all legitimate. That's the thing I get driven crazy is when people are like, this is nothing. Like, this didn't happen. This is
the fake news stuff.
Yeah, like, that's a lie. Like, that's just not how it works. All of this stuff is being said by various parties, and it's legitimate information. Because what can be true is the Lakers and Spurs could have talked about the situation. The Lakers can be under pressure, and Kawhi can be applying pressure by telling other teams, I'm not going to re-sign with you. All of those things can be true, and they're not contradictory.
I'm gonna give everybody a quick second to kind of catch their breath here and compute all the math, and then when we come back here, we're gonna keep talking about this, because again, I this whole entire dynamic is really, really fascinating. Actually, that's what I want to do when we come back here, is just kind of talk about the actual situation itself and how almost extraordinary it is. We'll do that here in a second. So you have a superstar, a bona fide top five talent in the league, entering his prime, that wants to go from the most stable organization maybe across all of American professional sport, and is now, not only does he want to leave that situation, but he wants to go to the organization that the Spurs probably hate the most. I don't think I'm off base saying that. So you have all of these things, and to the point that you were making before, all of these various camps are trying to accomplish very different and very contradictory things. The only two people, or the only two entities in this thing that might be on the same page, are Kawhi and the Lakers. The Spurs, meanwhile, are saying, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't want to give Kawhi what he wants. I definitely don't want to give the Lakers what they want. And so what you get is what you've talked about, is reports and information that is true, that is contradictory, but can still be true. Like, contradictory doesn't mean that those two things can't be true.
Right. I think part of the big thing to keep in mind here, I've said this before, because I've been annoyed at the conversation around the Kawhi thing. I haven't really gotten into it, and I've done it on Twitter. I'm not really, like, going to argue. I've been around this block so many times that there is a point where I can't be involved. I can't go to town on every single debate. But I'll say this. Everyone's like, I just don't understand. Like, clearly the Sixers offer is the best one. It doesn't matter. It does not matter what the best offer is, because if Kawhi Leonard has his agent or his uncle or whoever, his publicist, his chef, his personal trainer, his accountant, anybody, if that person calls up Jerry Colangelo and says, he is not resigning, there is a 0% chance Kawhi Leonard resigns with you. And as a matter of fact, if you trade for him, we will consider that an insult, because it is against his wishes, and it will lower your chances of him re-signing with you. For a team to then trade for Kawhi Leonard, you would have to have the biggest huevos in all of the universe to be able to say, we're going to deliberately piss you off, trade for you somewhere where you don't want to be, and we're going to say that we can make it such a good, fun, great experience for you that you wind up buying in. That's like...
Is that situation present in the NBA? Like, do you think there's a situation that like, is there an Oklahoma City, is if we were to believe the reports that Paul George is legitimately considering staying in OKC? Like, is there another situation like that? Is it just Boston or Philly?
This isn't – I wouldn't even say this is an OKC situation, because I'll make this very clear. I would bet significantly that Paul George did not say to Sam Presti in any of their conversations – yes, I will resign with you, or yes, I am open to resigning with you. But he also did not say, I will not resign with you. Mm-hmm. it was, look, man, I gotta go for through free agency. I get through, like, this is my big time. I'm gonna keep all options open. You have a great organization. You have Russ. I'm excited to play here. Like, Paul George was not against the idea of being traded to Oklahoma City. I don't think he was excited or like, that's what I want to do. But when it happened and was presented to him, he likely was like, okay, all right, let's see how this goes. And that's why they're here. Like, he was open from the very moment he landed in OKC. He started talking about being open to re-signing there. Mm-hmm. And if he wasn't, he would have said, I got to keep all my options open. That's it. But that's not what he said. He's constantly said, I'm open to it. Now, does that mean I think he's going to re-sign? No, I don't know. I don't know. I hear all sorts of stuff about
Paul George. Yeah, it's all over the place.
Yeah, but I know that I feel comfortable saying that if – well, I'll say I feel comfortable saying that Paul George doesn't know what he's going to do yet, and I also feel comfortable that no matter what he decides, people will say that he knew all along.
Do you think that's how it works? Do you think it's possible then? Because I think the only person or the only people who know what they want to have happen, how they the only people who can concretely know, the only players – is it LeBron and maybe Kawhi, right? But even Kawhi is saying like, well, or his camp or reportedly is saying, well, maybe the Clippers or whatever. But I feel like LeBron is the only one who seems to me like he wants to be a Laker and he's just waiting for that second domino to fall.
See, if George held out, if George just said no, like if he had said, I'm not resigning in Oklahoma City, you have 0% chance of keeping me. I will not resign with you. If you sign me, if you trade for me, it lowers your chances and I will put you at the bottom. You are not resigning me. Then the Oklahoma City Thunder are not doing that deal. They're not. Mm-hmm. If you're a superstar, if you're at that level, if you're all, I mean, it's like all NBA. If it's like, if you're all NBA or if you're on the Olympic team, and there's like lower level guys on the Olympic team, but those guys all aren't on all NBA. So maybe it's like both. If you're an all NBA guy that makes Team USA, those guys, like, you get to decide where you go, because if you will still have that kind of power. What's amazing about Kawhi is usually one of the side things of this is like an organization will worry about harming the relationship with an agent. You know, like, we burn him on this. If we trade for his client, like, he doesn't want us to trade for him. What's that going to do when he has another big free agent up? Are we even going to get a meeting? Like, you have to manage these things. These are real world person to person concerns.
Absolutely.
That you have to manage. But with Kawhi, you don't even have that, because everything's, to my understanding, is like the uncle.
His uncle. Mm-hmm.
So like, he doesn't have any other clients. You're not worried about that. But the situation is still the same where Kawhi is still able to say, I don't want to go anywhere else. And the thing is that the Spurs don't have to care an ounce about what Kawhi Leonard wants, but every other team that's looking to trade for him does. Like, the Denver Nuggets can't be like, yeah, we're going to give Jamal Murray in the first round pick to go ahead and make a leap for this because we want to make a run at Kawhi and try and build like a real contender, because they know that Kawhi will respond with, you think I'm re-signing in Denver? Are you out of your mind? Mm-hmm. I will not re-sign in Denver. That is not going to happen. And then they're looking at it's like, I would rather have Jamal in a first round pick than nothing next year. So, to me, the only result this has really ever seen was either Kawhi was going to have to get his mind changed by whoever trades for him. And that's still in the possibility, okay? Because they will let him talk to other teams under the radar. So if Danny Ainge gets on the phone with him and talks him into it, like, makes the case, and if Danny Ainge walks away with, like, I think Kawhi would really like it here, I think this could be a good fit, this is worth it, then that deal could get done and kind of sneak out the door. But as long as Kawhi maintains, I only want to go to the Lakers – there's only so much that the Spurs can do. And the Spurs have also followed the protocol, which is you say, we hope to repair the situation. That tries to improve your leverage. You say, we're not trading him in the West. We're not trading him in the West. We're not trading him to the Lakers. Those two things are not happening. And then it's like, well, look, if you don't have any other situation, eventually you come back to the West.
Yeah. That's how I took that away today. I kind of laughed at the, like, well, actually, fine. They'll send him West. We still haven't heard them being okay with sending him to the Lakers. Apparently, they're talking now. But the fact that the West came back into the realm of the possibilities, it was noteworthy to me. We're gonna take one last break here, and then when we come back, we'll continue on this topic, which I could frankly talk about all day. We don't have that kind of time, and you don't have that kind of time. But we'll keep on going here in a second. So The thing that needs, sir, that you were talking about a second ago was, all right, the Spurs have done everything that they can at this point. They have played things as well as they could to this point, as you would expect the Spurs to. But at the end of the day, the situation is the situation. So it sounds to me like, and I'm biased, I'll cop to being biased here, but it sounds to me like there aren't very many other courses of action that will take place before the season. Or do you think this carries over into the season?
I don't, personally. I think it could carry on into August. Mm-hmm. If LeBron says, you know what? No, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want the LeVar nonsense. I don't trust the young core. I don't think Paul's going to leave. I'm out. Like, I'm just going to stay in Cleveland. Screw it. Like, that's fine. I'll play for Gilbert. Whatever. The devil, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, now all of a sudden, the Spurs have a lot more leverage. Here's what's ironic is if LeBron signs, the Spurs can get a better deal, but the Spurs' leverage improves if LeBron doesn't go, because then it's like, oh, you can't get LeBron. You better get Kawhi. Except there is also the alternative of if that happens, the Lakers can also be like, look, we're not getting LeBron, so we can wait till 2019 anyway. Screw mm-hmm. it. You know, so there's all these ways in which it's still going to be this tug and pull. I just tend to think that the Spurs can't go into training camp with him on a roster. It's too much of a distraction. It's too much of a pain. It's not how they do business. They're gonna, no matter what, the Spurs are gonna field a professional basketball team next year, and they're gonna try and compete for whatever it is that they can compete for. They'll say a championship, but they're gonna try and compete for whatever. They're gonna play basketball, mm-hmm. and so like, they're not gonna deal with this whole mess for another year. It's not happening. They're not gonna do that. So unless they're able to repair the situation with Kawhi, which does not seem plausible at this point, then he's got to be gone. By the time training camp rolls around, it has to happen. Like I said, I think the most likely scenario is that what the Spurs have to be rooting for, actually, is this is what's ironic. The Spurs have to be hoping that LeBron James, who handed them one of their most bitter defeats in all of franchise history, one of their guys that they've battled with through the years, joins forces with the team that they have battled the most with their arch nemesis, the Lakers. Yeah. Because LeBron goes there again. That means that Magic and company are going to be like, screw it. The board is open. What do you want? Like, what do you want? Because we got LeBron. If we get Kawhi, we're in the title picture. It doesn't matter who else we got. Like, if we get LeBron and one of Paul George and Kawhi or both, we're in the talks for the title. So what do you want? And then the Spurs can get whatever they want. I think the biggest problem with the Spurs is just like, I don't think they want the guys that much. I just don't.
Well, all right. I want to talk about that here in a second. But the thing about if LeBron goes to the Lakers and you're talking about the way that leverage might sway there, well, doesn't that make Kawhi all the more desperate to become a Laker either this season before this season starts or when he becomes a free agent?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with it because I don't think necessarily. I don't think Kawhi is necessarily thrilled with the idea of being of teaming up with LeBron. Huh. I don't think that he's against it. Let me put it this way. I don't have any idea of what Kawhi Leonard feels about the idea of playing with LeBron James because I don't know whether or not Kawhi Leonard has feelings. So like,
fair point.
I can't confirm or deny like the situation. But I would just say that this decision is not being built on the best basketball concept because if it was built on basketball, Kawhi Leonard staying in San Antonio, they've proven time and time again that they can put a 55-plus team that can win compete for a championship no matter what. Like they've proven they can win a title with Kawhi Leonard. They've proven that. Like even after the 2014 title, when you could argue Kawhi wasn't there yet, they've been in contention every year since. Like they've been a team that at the beginning of the season, if I had said like the Spurs wind up winning the title, like the last 2 years with the Warriors, you might have been like, that's wild. But you still would have been like, but not like wild, like or Sacramento wild. You know, it's like, oh, okay, well, the Spurs are really good. So this isn't about basketball. This is about market. It's about exposure. It's about popularity. It's about lifestyle. And if it's those things, then his situation does not change regardless of what LeBron or Paul George does. Like he wants to be in L.A. because whoever around him wants to be in L.A. He's a star on the market, so they want him. That's about what it comes down to. I don't think that LeBron shifts much for his desperation to go there. And regardless, like that, if he says I want to go to the Lakers, I'm not going to resign with anybody. It's more about what he tells other teams than it is what he tells about the Lakers. Like the Lakers are just like the default because they're the team that he's not providing a null value to.
So I wanted to get to the point that you mentioned about the Spurs, how they might see the Lakers prospects. To me, I think if LeVar wasn't involved, I think Lonzo Ball is like the perfect Spur. He's a pretty quiet dude. He minus the rap thing, but he's in terms of like on the court and in terms of with the media, like it's hard to get anything out of him in any kind of scrum. So you have that. He has an incredible basketball IQ. He is really good on defense. Super unselfish. Like he seems to me like the kind of player the Spurs would be interested in. But you have LeVar, and then you have Brandon Ingram, who again has a lot of the traits that I think the Spurs seem historically interested in. The issue with Ingram, though, is that he is getting near that point. I believe next season his rookie option has to be picked up, and then a couple years after that, you're talking about restricted free agency. And so maybe they're thinking, well, maybe we just try to completely bottom out, though I don't think Pop would be interested in that, but maybe we just try to completely bottom out. Are we trying to find – either we could bottom out or we find immediate help to make another run and maybe embarrass Kawhi in the playoffs if he winds up being a Laker. It's been interesting to me how the Lakers' assets have been kind of looked at here when – again, I'll cop to being biased here, but they seem like decent at the very least to good – to very valuable assets moving forward.
The reactions on these things, I think, is really tough. Because if you say, like, the Lakers have things that they can offer Kawhi Leonard, mm-hmm. the response is, like, that's absurd. Like Lonzo can't shoot, and Ingram is, like, rail thin, and they haven't proven anything, blah, 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 blah. And then if you say, like, well, this Lakers core, like, this is a stellar Lakers core, and it's like, you know what? The Lakers core looks really good because it's like, hey, it's not the garbage pile that the Lakers have been the last 3 years. But when we start to actually look at – I know this is going to piss people off, but if we start to look at actual title-contending cores, I don't know if they're there. Like I can't see a future where like Lonzo and Kuzma and Ingram, like that's the trifecta of a title contender. I don't see that as Russ, KD, Harden.
No, I don't think that's a hot take. I don't think that'll even piss people off.
Like I just don't see that being the case. Like I think but they're also not bad assets. Like they're stuff that would be good. I think for the Spurs, honestly, the thing is the Lakers would be better off, ironically. Like you have all these young assets and picks so that you can trade for a player like Kawhi Leonard, except for the pick that they had to give. But like that's why you do that. But ironically, the Spurs are like the one team you'd rather have like the really good player on a mid-level contract.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the Lakers had CJ McCollum, the Lakers would be – or the Spurs would probably be much more interested in, okay, CJ McCollum, Ingram, and a first. Done. No problem.
So you're saying Luol Deng doesn't qualify for not that?
Just that. And, you know, it sucks because, like, back in the day, like, Luol would have qualified. Like, Luol Deng was an all-star. Like, Luol Deng was a two-way player that shot efficiently and was, like, a super basketball IQ. Would have been a great Spur.
Kobe nixed the trade to Chicago because he wanted Luol Deng to stay in Chicago.
And Luol Deng. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think if they wind up with Lonzo – Lonzo's still going to be – like I've said this a lot. I still think Lonzo's floor is exceptionally high. I don't see a scenario where Lonzo Ball fails. Like I don't see that. I don't know if he's like multi-time all-star, but in San Antonio, that's okay. Like you could just be like super effective dude who is constantly underrated. Like that's their whole thing. The LeVar thing I think is weird to think about just because – I don't think the Spurs want to deal with it, but it's also like I guess I also can't see them saying we're not going to do what's in our best interest because this might be a pain in the ass. Like that doesn't seem like what they would do either.
Yeah,
they're much more likely to be like, you know what, it's a pain in the ass, but we do what we have to do.
I mostly agree. If it wasn't for the situation that they're coming off of with Kawhi right now, right, which is reportedly because of Kawhi Leonard's uncle for the most part.
You know, and I'll say this. I would suggest the Lakers fans also have, and anyone that's looking at this, have a moment of restraint about trading for Kawhi Leonard.
Yes.
Like, just
absolutely
think about it. Like, I don't know. No one really knows. I don't know what the deal is with the injury. To me, the entire situation just smells like the whole thing seems weird. But if we accept that he legitimately had this bad of an injury and he has struggled this much and that's the reason for this disconnect, that's a major injury that you're going to need to be really concerned about going forward. Two, if I'm trading for a guy who said, I don't want to play for Greg Popovich anymore, alarm bells are going off. And for Lakers fans, I think the best way to think about it would be, imagine somebody being like, I don't want to play with Magic anymore.
Well, I mean, for a long time, the direct comparison here is where Jeannie Buss went out there and said that if it is true that players didn't want to play with Kobe, well, then we don't want them to be Lakers anyway, right? Like, that was her response to that. But can I actually kind of defend Kawhi in regards to the Popovich thing?
You can. It's just a matter of, I'm not saying that you can still take Kawhi's side in it. I'm just saying there's reason for you to at least be like, keep that in the back of your mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's like with most of these things that we're talking about, especially in this situation, both sides can have aspects of truth to it. I think, like, personally, if I was a superstar, and I think it was particularly eye-opening, his exchange with Jordan that was reported earlier this past season, and the fact that he now, maybe he is incredibly unself-aware and didn't recognize that in order to become an international, let alone, you know, national brand, that you need to say stuff every so often. But I thought the one thing that I kind of come back to is, if I was an NBA superstar, again, top five talent, when he's healthy, and if he's healthy, he is, in my opinion, a top five player in the NBA. When the Spurs win, I don't remember the parade of praise that was coming Kawhi's way in comparison to the parade of praise that always goes to Pop. And I think for NBA superstars, that matters.
I think that's hard to argue when he got third in MVP voting last year.
Right.
I think it's difficult to say that Kawhi Leonard doesn't get credit when he is a multiple-time defensive player of the year, and he was an MVP third place runner up that got a lot of first place votes last year.
If you were to poll casual fans, do you think they across the board say he's a top five NBA talent? Because I think that's more of a Twitter, like an NBA Twitter niche thing.
I guess here's the thing, is like, if you're going to poll casuals, I think that they're going to be largely in the dark on most things.
Kobe is still top five.
Yeah, like Kobe's still top five, and like, you know, I'm trying to think, like, Kyrie is going to be top five, and like, that's absurd. Like, Kyrie Irving's not a top five player. Come on, get out of here. No, like, that is not in the conversation. So like, that's a weird question to ask. And what we're actually talking about here is, that's not Popovich's fault either. Popovich hasn't done anything to propagate that concept. Like, the whole thing that they've always done is Popovich has constantly praised his players. He's, and like, he went out to bat for Kawhi more than he has almost any other player.
Well,
like,
minus that whole weird thing that he did with LaMarcus, right? Like, it wasn't exactly veiled when he said that LaMarcus is always there. And then,
I'm talking about before this year.
Okay.
Last year, like, I've never seen him stump for, I don't think he stumped for Tim. I don't remember him stumping for Tim for MVP and back in his prime, the way he stumped for Kawhi last year. Like, he went out and like really pushed for Kawhi to win MVP last year. And like, that's not something that he involves himself with, because deigning to talk to us mortals is not something that he does, but he did. Like, he went out and he stumped for him. Which this is like turned into a chicken and the egg thing.
Yeah.
Because it's, well, look at these things that the Spurs said about him. And the response to that is, look at
what he did before that. Mm-hmm.
And so there's this chicken and the egg thing, and it just comes down to like, I mean, everyone's going to have their opinion, and I'm of the mindset that like, I can have my opinion, but I can't be like, I feel very confident that this is the situation. So I don't know. I have no idea. And if I'm proven wrong, I would not be like, oh, for shame. I'd be like, all right, I was wrong. That makes sense. Like, who knows? But I will say that if you ask me where I land on it, I have to say, I heard talk before any of this stuff blew up, when it was assumed that Kawhi was going to be a Spur for life. There was a conversation of like, when you would ask around, you would just hear around San Antonio, you would just hear, Kawhi's a weird dude. Like, he's just a little bit different. Kawhi's a weird dude. And a lot of superstars are like that. Like, that's not uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't a Spurs thing that they propagated. That's just like third parties around would be like, Kawhi's kind of a weird dude. And then if you have – this is what I keep coming back to. A team that literally set the precedent for getting fined for resting players, that invented DNP old, that caused the NBA to institute fine programs for resting players that caused this crisis of teams resting on Saturday nights. Like, the Warriors adapted what they did from the Spurs. San Antonio set the bar for being overly cautious with injuries and players' bodies. And now all of a sudden, they're reckless and taking it upon themselves to decide for a player.
Yeah, I haven't bought that at all.
That doesn't make any sense.
The only I think criticism that I think is fair with San Antonio is like Tony Parker's weird remark about, you know, his injury was, what was it, 8 times worse, or was it 8 or 80? It was like, but he said it was 100 times worse, and he missed 8 months for it. And then Manu said that, you know, if you're injured or not, we still need you to be around. And then Bruce Bowen just recently going out there and ripping Kawhi in that one rant on XM radio and Pop with LaMarcus. Like, I think that stuff to me is the only, I think, fair criticism that you keep that in house. Like, that's always been the rule with pro sports. But
that's the thing, is I think they kept it in house a long ass time.
Mm-hmm.
I think they kept it in house and the Spurs kept trying to play nice. I think Monty Ginobili, who bears like a responsibility for the franchise, is one of their all time legends in what may have been his last season. I think he had a moment of frustration about it. And I think, honestly, I think Monty was hurt. Like, he bled with that guy. They went to war they went to war against the Heat. They had classic battles with him. And so for him to, if they don't feel that his injury situation, and here's the thing, this is another question. When have you ever heard of a player being like with a star guy? Like, where are you at, man? Like, most of it's like, he's injured, it's tough, we hope he gets better. Like, that's all you ever hear. Now, having been around locker rooms long enough, I can tell you, look, there are times dudes don't come back. And I'm not saying that that's what Kawhi's deal is, because I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in there. I'm not a member of the Spurs. I'm not on his training staff. But if you're going to say, like, well, players never do this, like, that's not true. Like, there are just times when a player is facing free agency and he's had a boo-boo and been like, nope, sorry, I'm not going to risk it. We're not making the playoffs, and I'm not going out there to compete because this guy's going to get paid. Like, that happens. That is a normal part of the league. And a lot of people would say, good for him. That's fine. I don't have any problem with you saying that. That's okay. Like, I don't even know how I feel about it. I think it's a case-by-case thing. I think it's entirely a case-by-case thing. I tend to be like, you're not making the playoffs. Who cares? But you also can't sit there and say, like, oh, well, that never happens. And, like, no, like, there are situations where guys don't come back. And I think that in certain locker rooms that have good, strong chemistry, where they don't want to hold, like, when they have culture that says, we're going to go out there and we're going to compete, I think that that gets tough. I think that's when you start to have problems. So, like, I don't know how to read the tea leaves on it. I don't think we're ever going to know the truth. I really don't. I don't think we're ever going to know the truth. I think Kawhi plays on opening night and it's like, oh, my leg got better. Like, that's, I think, is probably the situation. But he can miss half the year with continuing tendinopathy problems. And I'd be like, man, it's a really tough injury he suffered.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to have to wait and see. And even then, though, we're never going to know the truth. We're not going to know what actually went on. The only thing that we can say right now is that it seems more than likely that Kawhi Leonard is going to be a Los Angeles Laker when the season opens this October.
That's a perfect segue. So that's the first part of your prediction. Do you think that leads to LeBron and potentially Paul George, or are you still – because last time we spoke, you were on the bandwagon of, hey, Lakers exceptionalism is coming back. Do you still feel that comfortable about it? Do you think this winds up – the Lakers wind up striking out completely because these guys are at a three-way stop waiting for everybody to make their own decision?
The last we talked about this, I expressed skepticism, if I remember correctly. I'm pretty sure the last time I was on this pod, I expressed skepticism about
– oh, maybe that was me. That might have been me that was
– I think it probably was. I'll say it plainly. Like, I think it's back. Like, I just do. I think they're getting one of the big three. I think there's a 50% chance that they get two. And if you get two, like, you're in business. If you get Kawhi and Paul George, you're a contender. If you get LeBron and Kawhi, you're a contender. You get LeBron and Paul George, you're a contender. Like, no matter what, you are going to be a contender if you get two of those guys. You get one of them, I don't think you are. I don't think LeBron and the young core does it. I think LeBron and the young core is going to be a mess. The first year, it'll take him time.
The first year for sure. I mean, we saw that with Cleveland when he first showed up, that it was kind of a mess, period. If they get all three, this is the thing that I because it's crazy to me to put to stack anybody up against the Warriors. But if they get all three, if they somehow walk away from this offseason with LeBron, Paul George, and Kawhi, that's the kind of lineup that gives the Warriors problems. But I'm still like, it's the Warriors are so good that I don't know if I'm comfortable saying that it legitimately gives them problems.
You still better have a big athletic point guard that can shoot, and you better have a big mobile five. Like, you still got to have stuff, and you better have role players. Yeah. Like, you better be able to stack those bench units with shooters. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that you're going to need versus the Warriors, but like, you'll have a fighting chance, and the Lakers will be certifiably back. The Sports Illustrated cover will be assured in that instance.
Oh God. Why'd you have to bring that up?
This is going to be fun, Anthony. It's going to be fun. But no, I think they're going to get one of them. I think I have a hard time believing LeBron's going back to Cleveland. I just continue to think that Dan Gilbert has burned too many bridges.
Yeah.
And there's every indication that Houston's out. I don't think Sixers have too many things I think going against them. So that really only leaves Los Angeles. This was the conversation during the finals was – half the people I talked to, media and not media, that just people around, said, you know, he doesn't have a better option, so he's going to stay in Cleveland. And the other half said, I just can't see him going back because of how much bad blood there is. And so if there's no good option and there's bad blood in Cleveland, Los Angeles is like, it's the default choice. It's not they're perfect or Magic and Pelinka have done everything right, or he just wants to play with the greatness that is Lonzo Ball. It's just like, well, it's not a better option, so we'll go make lemonade out of these lemons. That to me is the most likely kind of outcome for it. I continue to think that that's probably what's going to happen. Like I don't know that what he's going to do. It seems pretty clear he's telegraphing that it's down to Cleveland and L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I just continue to believe that Dan Gilbert has done too much damage to the relationship for him to return.
I mostly agree. I'm a little higher on the Lakers, obviously, but I mostly agree that it comes down to which is the least mediocre of all the choices. That'll do it though. Thank you very much, Matt, for hopping on. Anything that you want to plug before we get out of here?
We got a whole bunch of stuff on Action Network. We got this post up earlier this week that showed the win total differentials for the over-unders of what they should be expected to be and the title odds
mm-hmm.
for if LeBron goes, if LeBron and Paul George go, if LeBron, Paul George, and Kawhi go. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting to see. Basically, LeBron's worth 5.5 wins on his own, no matter what. to put that kind of in perspective of how much a guy matters, and people will be like, he's worth way more than that. And it's like, you'd be surprised. Like, most NBA teams are going to win a certain amount, and then the superstars really only tack up so much. LeBron's 5.5 is obviously the highest compared to Paul George's, but it's interesting stuff. You should check it out at actionnetwork.com.
Absolutely. Find Matt, HP Basketball, and the Action and the Action Network. Sorry, it's late. But thank you very much for hopping on with me. We'll continue to enjoy a nice, quiet offseason, nothing really going on. And then I'll see you in Vegas.
Thanks, man.